Your submission's called Facing the Truth. What do you cover?
That's right. Well, in calling the submission Facing the Truth, we're wanting to make very clear what our approach to sexual abuse is. We want to be very upfront with the parliamentary inquiry and with the community that we are facing the truth, both the truth of the appalling things that have happened to people, the shameful and shocking abuse that's happened in the church, and also the truth of how we responded to that and the failures in how we responded to that over the years. Now, facing that truth has been a long journey for us, and as we've increasingly done that over the last 30 years or so, we've learned from some of those failures, and part of what the submission does is to chart the way that we've changed in our dealing with victims and with offenders, and have very different systems in place to do that now from what there would have been, say, 30 years ago. And so one of the parts of that truth that we set out in the submission is statistics for across Victoria of criminal child abuse that has happened in the church, complaints that have been upheld within the church processes since 1996, since the formal processes kicked in. We list and break down by decade the 620 cases that have been upheld in that time. Very hearteningly, in looking at that, while they tell an awful story of great suffering, which clearly continues into the present day for those victims, since 1990, so in the last bit over 20 years, there's only 20 cases. There's only 20 cases relating to that time that have been upheld since then. Now, that's obviously not going to be the final figure, but it's a very heartening figure to indicate that the changes that we've brought in over many years now are really having an effect.
Father McKinley, does the Catholic Church still provide support by either financial or emotional to clergy members known to have abused children? Is that part of the changes?
It depends on the situation. People who have been laicized have no ongoing contact with the church, and anybody where there's been serious offences upheld, or certainly any and criminal convictions, they would generally be in that situation. People who have been who have not been laicized but have been withdrawn from ministry, we certainly have an ongoing responsibility to provide assistance to them, and that's in fact part of the way that we can discharge our responsibilities to the community of due care and providing some level of supervision and ongoing awareness of those individuals.
There has been some concern related to the Melbourne
Melbourne response.
Thank you. To the Melbourne response and those who currently receive compensation for abuse and alleged abuse under that scheme. They're fearing that they may experience some ostracism or further recriminations from the church by speaking out and entering a submission. What is the church's stance on that at the moment?
People under the Melbourne response, people who've been assisted under the Melbourne response, have never been subject to any confidentiality requirements. And across the church, there's a very strong commitment that anybody who has been assisted by the church should in no way be restrained from talking about what gave rise to that. They're completely free to talk about their experience in whatever forum they choose to, and in relation to the inquiry, we think it's very important that people are able to tell their whole story in whatever way they choose.
There are also claims that this is not going to address the justice issue, this parliamentary inquiry. It is really first and foremost looking into the handling or mishandling of complaints of sexual abuse and won't necessarily lead to the convictions of people who have done this abuse. Do you think that the church will, at the end of this, be behind any sort of legal cases that come from it?
Well, investigating criminal activity is clearly something that's the role of the police, and we strongly support the police investigating, carrying out those investigations and mounting prosecutions wherever they're in a position to do that. The government has chosen to set up this sort of inquiry, and it clearly has some things that it can do. It can give victims who wish to an opportunity to tell their story. It can help set a broader context for the church to give an account of how our response has changed over the last 30 years, and it can give the community an opportunity to examine that response and make recommendations for further improvement. Now, it's clearly up to the committee and to the government acting on the recommendations of the committee to decide if there's further formal action that's needed.
Would you support a royal commission if that was launched?
We're strongly supporting this inquiry, and actively we've worked very hard to prepare a very comprehensive submission to this inquiry, and really we think that sort of question is one that the committee needs to be in a position to make a recommendation on once they've worked through the process of this inquiry.
Does the Catholic Church now admit that it had its head in the sand for many, many years about this issue?
Yes, we do. That's one of the problems. That's one of the reasons that we were so slow to respond, is that not only were we in a broader culture, as with the rest of society, of really very limited understanding of sexual abuse, of both its extent and the impact that it has on victims, the lifelong devastating impact that it has on victims. But on top of that, we had a very strong clerical culture, which made it very difficult both for lay people, for the families of these victims, for people in our schools, for people in our parishes, and certainly for people in leadership and authority to accept that priests and religious could do these evil things. So, one way of describing that is that we had our head in the sand, and it was very difficult, and there was certainly resistance within some of those, within our culture and within the broader community, to facing the truth of what was happening and the effects it was having.
Some of the submissions that are going to come out of this are no doubt going to be incredibly shocking. I mean, we heard some of them yesterday, and that was just the tip of the iceberg as far as we're concerned.
Very distressing accounts, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And how do you feel about the effect that might actually have on the Catholic Church as a whole and its constituency?
Well, I think for anybody to hear these accounts, it's a very distressing, very disturbing thing. And one of the things that victims, we really need as a community to support victims in doing, is having the courage to be able to tell what are clearly still life-shattering experiences. So hearing these accounts will be distressing, but that's part of the truth that we need to face. We can't turn our backs on that just because it's hard.